Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
It's the English Martial Arts Podcast Show.
How are you doing?
The Habbo radio station everyone loves.
I love them a lot.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about how a lot of the modern-day combat sports are very similar to the old-style combat sports, and in particular, the old-style bare-fist fighting or pugilism. Now, in the modern era, we have what's called MMA, and the people who run it are the people from UFC, Bellator, etc., etc. It's an organised sport, it's worldwide, and it's quite a phenomenon. And it's widely, widely popular among both men and women and younger people as well. It's a skillful and very violent sport, just like boxing and wrestling. But if you were to go back quite a few years to the England of old, you'd find the old era of pugilism or bare fist fighting. Of course, there are going to be some major differences, but there are going to be a lot of similarities as well, such as punching, kicking, elbows, knees, maybe the odd headbutt here and there, grappling, but standing grappling. Now, obviously the MMA fighters can fight on the ground, and the Brazilian jiu-jitsu people and the catch wrestling people love that side of it. But in the old English system, there was no ground fighting. You weren't allowed to strike a man once he was down. But apart from that, a lot of it looked very similar. You know, straights, hooks, uppercuts, headbutting, knees, elbows, standing, grappling, throwing. So, you know, it's nothing new. I mean, it's been around for a long time. And it used to draw massive crowds, thousands and thousands of people, many, many more than you'd see at a UFC match. Of course, you've got the television numbers, which go in their millions. But, I mean, at the actual matches themselves, there were thousands of people that would gather just to get a glimpse of their favourite fighters and the fight itself. Now, of course, like in any combat sport, they had their dirty tricks. I mean, the barefist fighters used to gouge eyes, pull hair, spit snuff into the eyes of their opponents, all things like that. And I'm sure that modern-day fighters, whether it be boxers, UFC fighters, wrestlers, all have their own kinds of dirty tricks that they apply during a match to give them a better chance of winning. Another major difference is as well, in the old days, you had referees and seconds in the ring with the fighters, whereas in the MMA cage, it's just the two fighters. So there are major differences, as I said, but there are so many similarities as well. So, would the pugilism or barefist fighting of old still be relevant to today? You know, for self-defense and for combat sports? Well, I would imagine it is, yes, because there wasn't that much difference between what they did then and what they did now. It may have been more brutal then in the past, because they could get away with a lot more. Different kind of society then. But I imagine it would be, because we ourselves at our club have helped teach at least four fighters who went into the cage, MMA, and they did well. Some of them did better than others, but that's the way the fight game goes. So when we really, really look at the two arts together, or the mixed martial arts together, you can see so many similarities and a relevance for modern day. Of course, as combat sports, they didn't have things like defending against weapons, knives, etc., etc. But as an unarmed art in itself, for self-defense, self-protection, and for the sport, it's a really, really good art. The bare fist pugilism of old England is very, very relevant to the modern day era. So when we look back and we read about the lives of these pugs, these fighters, what do we get? I mean, we get a sense of where they came from, you know, usually poverty-stricken, very working-class people, English people, Jewish people, black people, although every kind of person winning for the barefist fighting. Some became very successful, like Tom Cribb and Daniel Mendoza and Ben Brain, etc. Tom Sayers, all those people. They became very, very successful at what they did, because some of them became parliamentarians and some of them became innkeepers and some of them just went back to doing what they used to do before they became fighters and competitors. Now, in the modern day disciplines and in the past, the training was brutal. It had to be, because to become an athlete strong enough, fast enough, hard enough, tough enough to compete with other people in a ring, you needed to be tough. Your training needed to be brutal. It needed a proper regime, a proper diet, proper exercise, proper fighting technique. Say you go in with a right hook to the body, followed with a right hook to uppercut, and then bang, hit him with a headbutt on the point of the chin. You know, so a good combination there for the old style boxing. Whereas in the modern day cage, you'd probably go in with a low hook, an uppercut, and a choke or an elbow, something of that sort. I mean, you would do that in the old stuff as well, but you know, for a fight finisher, a good headbutt is a great technique. Now, the difference, one of the main differences between the two arts is that in the old days, they still relied upon the principles of the English martial arts to dictate how they fought, how they moved, etc. Whereas modern day, it's not, it's pure technique. They learn technique, then they apply it and in sparring, and they apply it when they fight. Nothing wrong with that. Works perfectly, as you can see by watching the UFC fights. Brutal. But in the old style English boxing or pugilism or barefist fighting, whatever you wish to call it, you were still governed by the principals, the governors, etc., etc., because they are the best ways to move and fight. So it was still, so there's another massive major difference, the principles versus technique. Now, of course, you can get into what's called the no reaction zone, where the principles no longer apply because you're too close to allow them to apply. And that's where your training takes over, your toughness and your technique takes over. So from being so close, you can use the elbow, the knee, the head, you can choke, strangle, and you can throw. All these things are in both arts. But before you start training and doing all this stuff, you need to apply this to the mind as well. If your mind isn't as strong as your body, it's not going to work. You could be a whiz in the gym, you know, take everyone out. But then you get on the street and that fear takes over and you melt and you just can't help it. It's because you haven't had a proper trainer who trains the mind as well as the body. And you need to train the mind as much, if not more, than the body. I always say this, it's like a mantra to me. Because if you don't train the mind, other things can interfere when the chips are down. You know, that nagging doubt of fear will try and make you stop and beg for not to get hurt anymore and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whereas the strong, trained mind won't do that. They'll carry on until they either win or lose. But a disciplined mind to go with a disciplined body is the perfect combination. I mean, you haven't got to be an athlete. You haven't got to look, you haven't got to have that V shape. You know, you can have a round shape. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you carry weight or you're really skinny or whatever. If you've got a strong mind and you train properly, none of that matters. Okay? None of that matters. Now, remember, when you're training, some of this you can do on your own and a lot of it you can't do on your own. Obviously, you can't do the grappling on your own, but you can punch, kick, elbow, knee, headbutt. You can do all that on your own, footwork, everything. But you can't do the grappling side of it. Now, comparisons aside, because they are very similar arts with major differences, we can really, really look at the training and the kind of technique that you can apply in the different arts. So both arts employ boxing, boxing of the old days, and modern sport boxing. So a lot of similarities in handwork, such as straights, hooks, uppercuts, you know, overhand rights, overhand punches, you know, winging hooks, all that kind of stuff. all very, very similar. And knee techniques, where the knee comes straight up the middle, not from the side, like a Thai or any other kind of Oriental Eastern combat sport, but comes straight up the middle, very hard to see. Same with the kicks or the purring, straight into the legs, into the groin, into the stomach. Elbows coming straight round, bang into the side of the jaw or up into the point of the chin, into the forehead, nose, temple, using your head to headbutt. And then you can move into the footwork, which takes you forwards, backs, to the sides, on the diagonals. And you've got the grappling side of it, where you choke, many kinds of chokes. You've got face locks, you've got arm locks, throws such as the cross buttock, etc., etc., all to be found within modern MMA as well. Now remember, if you fancy going to learn the old English pugilism, stay away from teachers that look stiff, and teach the art as though it was made up by a robot. Okay, that's not the way to train. You need to be fluid. You need to be able to move quick. You need to be able to dodge, duck, etc. Sway out the way. Use your footwork really, really well. So look for someone who has obviously been trained before and has got the body mechanics and basics down pat before he started to teach the old arts of pugilism. So they're the things to look out for. Make sure your teacher is competent and he looks as though he knows what he's doing, at least. And he performs and shows you what he means rather than just talks about it. So thank you for listening to this episode of the English Martial Arts Podcast Show, and hopefully you'll tune in next time for the next episode.
Listen to us, because we listen to you.